May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a professor of Oriental languages who for many hours had been slumped over a particular text that he was trying to translate. The professor was in his study at home, and his wife had called him several times to join him for dinner. He had not heard the calls because of his intense focus upon his work. He had reached an impasse in the translation because of the appearance of a strange mark over one of the characters. All of his study, all of his experience failed to provide him any clues as to its meaning, and he was stumped. This tiny mark made it impossible to then make sense of the entire text. And finally, his wife enters the study, very frustrated that he has not yet come to dinner. She places her hand on his shoulder and asks him again to break for dinner. Her words spoken to him create a gentle breath, and that breath of air sweeps from the page the very mark the professor had so long worried and labored over. It was not part of the text at all, but rather it was a piece of dirt. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. If you are a lover of language, you can relate well to this story found in the writings of theologian Soren Kierkegaard. Often in the study of language, we can become so frustrated in our attempts to translate a word or a phrase, and we know what a difference just the nuance of pronunciation or change of a word can make in the meaning of what we have said or what we are reading. Perhaps you, like me, have embarrassed yourself with a foreign language by saying something exactly opposite of what you wanted to say. However, the problem, which seems to be impossible, often reveals itself to be, in the final analysis, not difficult at all. It reveals itself, perhaps, to be only a tiny speck which blocks our vision and understanding until something moves it away. Although just a speck may be removed, the entire situation is completely changed. As I looked at the texts for today, for the first time seriously on Thursday, and then really seriously on Friday and Saturday, I focused on Paul's letter because I believe it is something that all of us struggle with. Towards the end of that passage, when he speaks of a thorn in the side of his flesh, every one of us can relate to some thorn that is still there or that has been there in our lifetime. And Christ's response that my grace is sufficient for you, you're made perfect in weakness. Those are hard words for us to take in and own. But perhaps that is how grace moves into our lives. In just this way, the grace that St. Paul speaks of in his letter to the Corinthians, when he says, my grace is sufficient for you. At the time that Paul wrote this letter, there had been a painful rift between him and many in the congregation. Among the criticisms directed at Paul were doubts about his authority as an apostle and his decision to continue to support himself financially as a tent maker rather than simply through his teaching. Paul claims that these criticisms are made from a cultural or worldly point of view. And he speaks out of his own experience because he's a former persecutor of the church. And he too had done the same thing, had judged from that point of view. So on this sixth Sunday of Pentecost, this epistle reminds us that the grace of God in Jesus Christ is enough. Or at the very least, it works at getting us to begin to accept this truth. Billy Graham once told the story of how his wife reflected on the Christian life one day as they drove on a highway which was under construction. All along their trip, the road had signs that said, "Caution under construction." And she thought, what an appropriate sign to stand next to us as Christians, as we ask God to work on us, to construct us, to give us God's grace and transform us. The gospel of Jesus Christ liberates us from the cultural reality into a new reality of grace. Of grace which is pregnant with new life possibilities. To be in Christ is to be called into a life and worldview which is often radically different than the cultures. This is reflected in the recently added sign in our parish hall over one of the entrances to Hosea Hall, where several of our parishioners, the senior warden being one of them, came up with this sign that says, "Welcome regardless." I want you just to play with that in your mind as it relates to the grace of Jesus Christ being enough. Welcome regardless. The third promise of our baptismal covenant, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, addresses this grace. Long time ago, Dr. John Westerhoff wrote that it is a promise to live a Christ-like life, which means talking less and acting more. Dr. Westerhoff commented that the book in the Bible on the ministry of the early church is called the Acts of the Apostles, not the Talk of the Apostles. Not the View of the Apostles. To proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ is in the final analysis to love. This is in a culture today which often supports cynicism, nastiness, lies, hate, violence, degradation, and vulgarity. Eric Butterworth tells the story of the college professor who had his sociology class go into the Baltimore slums to get case histories on 200 young children. They were asked to write an evaluation of each child's future. In every case, the students wrote, "He or she hasn't got a chance." 25 years later, not even connected to that study, another sociology professor comes across this study and decides to have his students follow up on the project to see what had happened to those children. With the exception of 20 who had moved away or died, the students learned that 176 of the remaining 180 had achieved more than ordinary success. The professor was astounded and decided to pursue the matter further. And fortunately, all of these children, who were now, of course, adults, lived in close proximity. And they went out and they interviewed them again and said, "How do you account for your success?" And in each case, the reply came with emotion, with feeling, sometimes with tears, as they said, "There was a teacher. There was a teacher." And the teacher was still alive, so he sought her out and asked this much older, frail woman what magic formula she had to pull these children out of the slums of Baltimore into successful achievement. And her eyes sparkled, and her lips broke into a gentle smile, and she said, "It's really very simple." She said, "I love them. I loved them. In Christ, grace. In Christ, difference. In Christ, weakness made strong. Today, may we accept this grace at God's holy altar. Give God your weakness and make a difference for Christ. Amen."